It's Friday, February 13th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. It's Friday the 13th. Ooh, scary, boys and girls. In some important activist agenda news, we've got some alerts to make you aware of. You can check these out by going to the blog at stash.normal.org and look over in the categories, which are those cute little icons that appear at the top of every post, and just click the one that says alert, and you'll get the most recent alerts for all of the United States bills that are happening in the legislatures at this moment. Now, in Rhode Island, we do have a bill that's coming forth to deal with compassion centers, a dispensary type situation for distribution of medical marijuana, following in the steps of New Mexico, which just made the rules for their distribution of medical marijuana. So check that Rhode Island alert out. In Tennessee, there's a terrible bill we need you to fight. This one's a zero-tolerance drugged driving bill. The idea being that if they pull you over and they detect any metabolites of any drugs in your system, whether you're impaired or not, that's a DUI. And also in Illinois, some good news, a medical marijuana bill has been introduced in the Illinois legislature. Again, all of these are available at stash.normal.org and look for the alert icon. Now, here at the Stash, we're concluding what we're sarcastically calling Michael Phelps Week with a special gift for you tokers out there from one of our listeners, Carlos, from Omega Project Music, who has put together the Michael Phelps Toke poster, kind of like the Barack Obama Hope poster that was in that red, white, and blue motif. Check that out at stash.normal.org. You can download your own high-res copy. Now, speaking of Michael Phelps, we've got plenty of Phelps-related news in our hemp headlines. And coming up after that, an interview with celeb stoner's Steve Bloom to talk about the entertainment headlines having to do with Michael Phelps, but also a new addition to the NFL's all-drug bust team. So check that out in our first interview segment. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we're going to sit down and speak with the guys from Potluck and listen to the song that they're debuting today on the Daily Audio Stash called Stoner Bitch. And in our final interview segment, we're going to be speaking with Dominic Holden, a writer for the Seattle newspaper The Stranger, also a member of Normal's board of directors, to get his thoughts on the appointment of his police chief, Gil Kerlikowske, as the new director of Office of National Drug Control Policy, a.k.a. the Drug Czar. There's a whole lot of nugs of knowledge we got to pack into this bowl, so let's get it started. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Michael Phelps apologizes to China, Mazda keeps Phelps. At the behest of a sponsor, Michael Phelps has recorded a video apology to the people of China, expressing his remorse over the recently published pictures of him using a marijuana pipe and thanking them for their support and forgiveness.
To my Chinese friends, as many of you know, I recently engaged in a behavior that was regrettable and not what people have come to expect from me. The past few days have been tough for me, but I've received support and encouragement online from so many Chinese friends. I will learn from these mistakes, train hard, and make you proud again. To the young people of China, please learn from this lesson. Be positive in life and do the right things. I've had so many great experiences in China over the past few years and have enjoyed learning about your culture and your history. But it's the warmth and the forgiveness in the messages I've received from China that have really lifted me over the past few days. Thanks again for your support and encouragement. I look forward to returning to China soon.
The 52-second video has been posted on several websites in China, and one major Chinese newspaper said the video had been sent directly from the Japanese auto company Mazda, which last month signed Phelps to an endorsement deal believed to be worth more than $1 million. Phelps was signed to promote Mazda cars in China after his record-breaking 8 gold medal performance at the Beijing Olympics last summer. But Mazda apparently decided an apology to the Chinese would suffice. The company issued a statement saying it would continue its sponsorship of Phelps. Quote, his expression of remorse and his determination to make amends, and especially his video apology and expression of thanks to the Chinese people, give us confidence that Phelps can make a healthy return to the pool and have even more brilliant achievements, end quote, the statement said. I'm sorry, I forgot. How many gold medals in world records did Michael Phelps win for the nation of China again? Or Japan? I'd been withholding judgment on Phelps' apologies. I had been giving him some leeway, being he's a 23-year-old young man and kind of socially awkward from years spent in a pool rather than socializing, and also being in the unenviable position of having the entire world focused on you as you have to make that millions of dollars and set for life versus fallen from grace gold medalist who stood up for pot decision. I'm down for the cause and all, but, you know, you throw 8 figures at me and I might have to think about it too. But apologizing to the Chinese, a country that censors its internet, aborts its unwanted females, imprisons its religious, and generally represses human rights, needs an apology over a photo of a bong-smoking swimmer or its people won't buy a lousy Japanese car the swimmer endorses? Forget it, Phelps. I'm done withholding judgment. You may be the fastest fish in water, but out of the pool, you got as much spine as a squid. Your pot smoking isn't something to be ashamed of. In fact, it was the smartest recreational intoxicant choice you could make. You're unquestionably the greatest swimmer ever, and your financial future would be secure even if every sponsor dropped you. Unlike, say, the thousands losing their jobs over a dirty pee test. USA Swimming would never have banned you from any real competitions. You're their only household name. You, unlike anyone else caught smoking pot, were in the most unassailable position to finally say, I smoke pot and I like it a lot. So what? And maybe you could have been the little boy who cries out that the emperor is naked and that finally tips the scales in ending adult marijuana prohibition. Real men stand up for what they believe. Real men fight for their sacred honor. Real men don't cower and submit for a paycheck when their family's survival doesn't depend on it.
Jeez.
Do we have to start boycotting the companies that kept Phelps because they're supporting the Judas of ganja? Is this not the third time thou hast denied me, said Cannabis. Kellogg's. Sacking Phelps was just coincidence. Looks like somebody doesn't like their negative press. I just got an email forwarded to me by a member of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. When they contacted Kellogg's about the Michael Phelps situation, this was the email that they received back from Kathy Eckler, the Director of Consumer Affairs.
Thank you for contacting us regarding Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps and our decision not to extend his contract. We regret that the intent of our message was not clear. The contract was set to expire the end of February, and with Michael's obligations to us met, our decision not to extend the contract was for business reasons and in no way diminishes Michael's status as an athlete. We believe Michael has set a tremendous example through his work ethic and his accomplishments and are proud to have been associated with him. The timing of this unfortunate incident and the end of the contract is purely coincidental. Again, thank you for the opportunity to share the facts of this situation.
Oh, so now Michael Phelps photographed with a bong was just a coincidence, and you were just allowing his February contract to expire, which explains perfectly this statement from your spokeswoman, Suzanne Norwitz, 1 week ago today. Quote, Michael's most recent behavior is not consistent with the image of Kellogg. His contract expires at the end of February, and we have made a decision not to extend his contract. End quote. Well, technically Ms. Eckler's not lying. Phelps' contract did expire in February. Kellogg's did not extend his contract for business reasons. It's just that the business reason in question is Kellogg not wanting to be affiliated with someone who smokes marijuana. Your marketing Jedi mind tricks are useless against us, young Padawan. You could easily prove that you're not cannabophobic. Sign on Santonio Holmes in Phelps' place. He did just win the Super Bowl, and Holmes has, quote, set a tremendous example through his work ethic and accomplishments, end quote. What do you say, Kellogg? Normal's economic stimulus plan. Stop firing pot smokers. I just received an email from a stasher who says, my name is Les, and I love listening to the stash every day after work. I started listening to it, even all the old shows, after I lost my job at True Green, a service master company, for smoking pot, even though I had a clean driving record, great customer reviews, and the whole nine. Never did I burn at work or in a company vehicle, but rather mostly at home with my wife while unwinding for the evening. Which got me to thinking, how many of the record 4.81 million people receiving unemployment benefits are unemployed or underemployed because of workplace drug metabolite testing? In an economic crisis, we need as many people working and contributing to the economy as possible. To put people out of work and dependent on assistance during this crisis is foolish. In the interest of rehabilitating this economy, we call on all private sector employers to do away with workplace drug metabolite testing, which serves primarily to disqualify responsible marijuana smokers from full employment. Metabolite testing disproportionately targets cannabis consumers as its metabolite, THC-CU or carboxy-THC, remains detectable for days or weeks after the window for impairment has passed. Therefore, most of the people fired for marijuana were probably not impaired on the job. We do share the concern about workplace safety, free from the threat of drug-impaired workers. However, there are other methods that are fair and accurate and do not discriminate against the marijuana consumer. If a change in drug metabolite testing is unworkable, then we call for a change in workplace policy that allows responsible marijuana smokers who test positive for non-impairing inactive metabolites of marijuana to keep their jobs, even if you feel some other disciplinary measures must be taken. The last thing our country and our economy needs right now are more unemployed marijuana smokers collecting a government check. Teens in Britain getting high legally on synthetic cannabis banned across Europe. Spice, as it is known on the street and in school playgrounds, has already been banned by at least four European nations, including the Netherlands, where smoking small amounts of cannabis is tolerated. Spice contains JWH-018, a synthetic psychoactive substance which gives what the Royal Society of Chemistry has described as a, quote, marijuana-like high, end quote. JWH-018, a cannabinoid receptor, was created by an American academic purely for research purposes in 1995. Last month, Christian Stoip from THC Pharmaceuticals, a German company which makes legal painkillers from cannabis, detected JWH-018 in several packets of spice, according to the RSC's Chemistry World magazine. He said the substance was 4 to 5 times more potent than tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, the main psychoactive substance in cannabis. Organic chemist John W. Huffman, who discovered the compound and lent his name to it, said he did not think it was toxic, but admitted that he did not know. Oh no! There is a new synthetic pot that's claimed to be 4 to 5 times stronger than the deadly skunk, which itself has claimed to be 7 to 400 times stronger than regular old marijuana. Oh, and since regular old marijuana is considered to be a Schedule 1 drug, the most dangerous category of drugs that have no medical purpose, like PCP, LSD, and heroin, then this spice must be super duper dangerous. Right. Nowhere in this article does anyone point out any known toxicity or proven dangers of spice, but there is this speculation that since cannabis has those terrible links to depression, schizophrenia, and psychosis, that the use of spice will lead to an epidemic of mental health issues. Except that these supposed links from cannabis to depression, schizophrenia, and psychosis are wildly overblown and mostly non-existent. And that JWH-018 isn't even chemically similar to THC, so it's a stretch to speculate that they would affect the mind similarly. That said, we've done decades of research on THC and next to nothing on JWH-018, so I wouldn't recommend being the beta tester for any new untested synthetic chemical. Let's let the unbiased scientists study this spice, and until we know the facts, stick to nature.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news. Well, here we are in week two of Michael Phelps Watch, among other stories that are happening in the celebrity cannabis entertainment news. And every Friday we visit with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com to get the latest updates. And Steve, welcome back.
Hi there, Russ. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. And I saw that you'd posted, and I just followed up on this on the Stash too, a hilarious story to update the Michael Phelps situation here out of Milwaukee. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, it's Don't Be Like Mike Knight. The Milwaukee Admirals is a minor league hockey team that plays in the American Hockey League. They're the affiliate team of the Nashville Predators. And they, I think, with a tongue firmly planted in Bong, let's say. So you'll get in with a discount, a $2 discount, if you have the name Michael Phelps, Mary Jane, Cheech Chong, or Weed. And again, anybody with a DARE program, some sort of graduate, I don't know what kind of information you have to prove that you graduated DARE, but beyond that, they are doing some other things to lure stoners to this giveaway. They're actually going to be giving out anybody from the Admiral scores a goal at the 420 mark in any of the three periods, they're going to give out one season ticket to some fan. I don't know how they're going to determine that. They're also going to have a giveaway of a weed whacker, courtesy of National Ace Hardware. It's all kind of funny, I think, actually. Although the owner of the team, or the president of the team, says, I, along with Nancy Reagan, want to encourage people not to do drugs. And as an organization, the Milwaukee Admirals don't condone or encourage the use of illegal drugs, including but not limited to marijuana or anabolic steroids, for that matter. So that's not super funny, but I tend to think that they're kind of playing this for laughs, and not to be taken seriously. I mean, obviously some people might, you know, maybe activists might want to not laugh at this and go and protest, or they might want to take advantage of it and go get some tickets and have some fun there that night. And it'll be at the Bradley Center, which is a big arena. It's an 18,000-seat arena, so there's a lot of room for the stoners there. I thought it would have been kind of cool if they would have given a 420 discount on the tickets instead of a $2. If they were really thinking, they could have done that. But, of course, it would have, you know, cut into their revenues. Tickets are $16 to $21, so we'll see how that goes. But that's just, you know, one of the many things that happened this week regarding Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I think it's tongue-in-cheek, too, especially when you get that line about Nancy Reagan, because as a cultural touchstone now, that's kind of almost like a inside joke, in a sense. So I think that I agree with you. I think it's a tongue-in-cheek thing. And if you've never been to a minor league hockey game, you folks in the Milwaukee area, go out and see a minor league hockey game. Wouldn't it be awfully fun? You know, I know in a lot of those games, like, they have these traditions where if somebody scores, they throw stuffed octopuses on the ice, or teddy bears or whatever. Wouldn't it be cool if everybody just started throwing joints on the ice at 420?
Well, make it swag, because you don't want to give away anything too good.
That's right.
This week, Bill Maher's been on Larry King. He's been on the Jay Leno Tonight Show. He's promoting the upcoming new season for Real Time, which starts next Friday. And, you know, I just sat in front of the TV knowing that, you know, it wouldn't take very long for Leno to ask him about Phelps. And so his comments about Phelps is kind of interesting. Besides basically calling it a charade, you know, that putting marijuana in your body is somehow worse than a thousand other things that people put in their body, including anything made by Kellogg, so he kind of endorsed the boycott. He then went after Phelps. He says, Phelps, he's a nice guy, but you know what? I just wish one time when somebody gets caught smoking marijuana, they wouldn't be such a wimp about it. I made a misjudgment. Yes, when you acted like a pussy about not standing up and saying, excuse me, I'm an adult, I can do things an adult can do. So, you know, it's kind of got people discussing this a little bit more, because it's really come up quite a bit. You know, should have Phelps just basically said, hey, listen, I did it, so what? But if Phelps had said that, most likely, you know, a lot of his sponsors would have dropped him. So, you know, you have to kind of, you know, decide what you think, you know, perhaps, you know, you would have done in that situation. Also, it was kind of funny on that the Leno session with Maher. I kind of just sort of an aside. So, you know, Leno started kind of taking like a devil's advocate, saying, well, you know, the sponsors, you know, have a right because, you know, he has a deal and it's agreed and it's in the contract that you can't do illegal things. And, you know, if you do, we can drop you. So Leno was basically saying that. So Maher goes, have you ever had a bong hit, Jay? And Leno looks at him. I don't even drink alcohol. So to me, the whole thing is a moot point. And Maher looks at him and goes, even presidents admit they've had a bong hit. And Leno goes, have you ever seen me have a drink or smoke dope? And Maher goes, no, but I've never seen you off the show. It was a very funny bit. And, you know, everybody's kind of like, you know, nudging. You know, it's not the first time that Maher has nudged Leno. Also, Seth Rogen kind of like nudged him a while ago. So everybody's sort of going after Leno every once in a while. But that was just a little sidebar.
Yeah. And that's not the only sports story we've got with regards to marijuana as well. It looks like you're just about ready to fill up the full 11-man roster for the NFL all-drug bust team. Tell us about the latest bust.
Exactly. There was the 10th NFL player since 2008 to be arrested for the marijuana cocaine occurred. Actually, it was last week. The story was only released yesterday. I guess it just didn't really make it out. It wasn't, you know, considered a big news story because it came out of a small town in Texas. The 49ers linebacker Roderick Green was arrested on February 2nd in a car stop. He was speeding. And what's kind of interesting and a little bit funny about this one was that when the police came over, you know, they said, roll down your window. And they kind of did the opposite. They rolled up their window because they were smoking pot, most likely, and there was a smell of marijuana in the vehicle. So the police considered them uncooperative because they didn't really want to, you know. But next thing you know, of course, the police ultimately got their way. They got to search the vehicle. They found some marijuana. They didn't say what amount, although it was considered less than 2 ounces. He was also charged with 3 other misdemeanors for reckless driving, carrying a weapon, interfering with the duties of an officer. That's probably the business of not rolling down your window when you're asked. So he's kind of a marginal player, you know, not a major star. He started with Baltimore and now moved over to San Francisco. And we'll see what they do about it. He's the second linebacker in the last couple of weeks that was actually arrested for marijuana. And we're coming close. The 11th player will make a full team. So if you go to Celeb Stoner and check out the all-NFL drug bust team, you can see all the guys who were arrested. Most famously, Santonio Holmes back in October, who, of course, was the Super Bowl MVP, made the winning catch in the Pittsburgh victory a couple weeks ago.
That's right. And then one other story, turning back to late-night television, and this may not be, you know, specifically a cannabis story, but I just wanted to get your take on it. What was up with Joaquin Phoenix on the Letterman show the other night?
Well, it's pretty funny. We've been kind of following him because, you know, he's claimed that he's leaving acting behind. He's become a rapper. There was a clip of him rapping that was pretty bad. That's circular around YouTube. We posted at Celeb Stoner. And now the other night, he was on David Letterman's show, Late Show with David Letterman, and he was there to promote his new movie that's opening today, which I actually forget the name of. And he was just kind of very passive to the point of, like, non-responsive to almost every question that David Letterman asked. And, you know, it got funnier and funnier because every time he'd say something, you know, Letterman would, you know, he would give a one-word answer, and then Letterman would just kind of crack up. And they actually did 2 sessions with him, so they came back, you know. And you kind of can see how Letterman's kind of starting to get a little anxious about it all, but also enjoying it because he can really make fun of the guy a lot. And the audience is starting to kind of laugh at things in kind of awkward ways. But at one point, the crowd, you know, just laughed about something, and Phoenix said to the crowd, what do you have them on? What do you gas them up with? Is it nitrous kicking in? You know, it was kind of a funny line. And basically, he, you know, it seemed like, what is he doing out there if this is the way he's going to react to questions? And he was there to promote a movie. And it's kind of refreshing in a sense to see some guy on a show, instead of, like, hyping his own stuff, he's very, you know, kind of like sitting back and just letting, you know, maybe let the clip do the talking. He really didn't even know who he was in the movie with. It was just funny. I mean, now, unless he's, this is all a put on, which has sort of come out in the news today, that that Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's brother, is filming a documentary about Joaquin Phoenix going in this new direction in his life. So is this all a big put on? You know, I'm going to be a hip hopper. I'm going to go on stage and do it sort of badly and fall off the stage. It's good, you know, it's good drama. I'm going to go on the David Letterman show and really not, you know, answer any questions and get Letterman kind of all riled up, you know, and that's also, you know, good TV, and everything will be a good clip, you know, to use for this, this documentary. There was a premiere of the film and, last night, and again, Casey Affleck was following people around, and they were giving out these papers for people to sign off that they appear in this documentary. It's just called the Joaquin Phoenix documentary. So maybe it is a elaborate spoof and a hoax. And if it is, it's a little bit like Andy Kaufman, which he used to do when he would kind of go into his other character.
Tony Clifton,
the Tony Clifton. So it's kind of like, although he hasn't named himself another character, Joaquin Phoenix seems to be going into another character, you know, instead of just, you know, I was kind of amazed that a publicist would let him on the show if they knew the way he was going to behave, because he did nothing to promote the movie. And then the kind of the send-off line was just hysterical. Letterman goes, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight. You know, he's sitting there for, you know, 15 minutes with him trying to get anything out of him.
I think Letterman's best line, though, was the, we owe an apology to Farrah Fawcett.
That's right. That was a follow-up to that. So, it's just kind of fun to follow. I mean, I don't know if he's a train wreck or he's just putting it all on. You know, I was kind of interested in the Phoenix family. I mean, they grew up as, you know, like a commune. They travel around quite a bit. You know, River Phoenix, of course, was his younger brother who died, you know, way too soon. And, you know, it's an interesting background that they have. So maybe there's a little bit more that meets the eye with Phoenix. And if they are doing a documentary on him, I hope that they do focus on his upbringing, his roots, you know, his parents, you know, how he grew up, how he became who he is, a little bit about his brother. It'd be really interesting if they do that as opposed to doing this whole kind of hoaxy thing.
Yeah, it sure was a lot of fun to watch. And the clip's available up on celebstoner.com in the featured clip section. Check that out. It's a lot of fun. And thank you so much, Steve Bloom from celebstoner.com, here every Friday for our entertainment report. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. All right, we got a couple of guests joining us live here for our Hip Hop Friday. One Ton and Underrated from the group Potluck. Hey guys, welcome to the Stash.
What's going on? Thanks for having us.
Oh, we're just chilling like a villain and sparking up a good one. How about yourself?
You know, from the last record, man, we don't get high, we stay high.
That's right, my man, that's right. So we got you on the show today because we want to play one of your tunes, but also to talk about a new album you guys got coming out. Why don't you tell our listeners about it?
We got a new album coming out on Tuesday. It's the best work we ever did. The name of the record is Pipe Dreams. We got a couple people on there. We got a song we did with Cottonmouth Kings called Stoner Bitch, which is the single. We got a video out. That was one of the tighter songs on there. We got a group called Twisted on there. Big Chris Calico singing a couple hooks. It's the best record we ever did, Pipe Dreams. It's in stores Tuesday.
Excellent, excellent. And people be able to get it online, too?
Yeah, you can get it online. Definitely iTunes, all those good spots, you know, digital's the way of the future.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
people who actually want to do it the OG way and go out to the store, we put a lot of good stuff in the packaging on there. There's all the lyrics are in there. We got a section in there where we talk about all the songs and how they came about. Give the listeners kind of like a behind the scenes of why we thought of it, how the recording sessions went, how kicking it with those people was, and everything. So we put a big package together. So if you go out and get the actual physical copy of the CD, You're not going to be disappointed. But if you're one of those iPod guys and you love just downloading the iTunes the day it comes out and getting it right into there and get to playing it, you won't be disappointed with that either.
That's cool. I like to go the old school way and get the liner notes and the lyrics and all that stuff. I think that's cool. Hey, you know, another thing is that people are going to want to see you guys live after they hear all this music. So where can they catch you on tour?
We got a new tour February 25th starting out called Bring the Noise Tour. Got Cottonmouth Kings on that tour. New big group Subnoise just signed, La Cosa Nostra on that tour. Blazer Dead Homie, Big B, Short Dog the Native will be hitting tons of cities throughout the whole United States, so I'm sure we'll be around a city near you.
Oh, yeah, and if people want to find out, you know, what cities and what times, you guys got a website or something they can look it up?
Yeah, all the shows are listed on our MySpace right now, so you can go check it out on Potluck MySpace. It's also SuburbanNoiseRecords.com. It's all over the Internet. It's going to be a huge tour. It's going to be the biggest tour we've ever done. We're real excited about the tour. It's going to be cracking, so make sure you go out and get your tickets.
Oh, yeah, especially with a lineup like that, you guys will be rocking all night long, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be festival style. It's going to be five, six groups, big-name groups, tons of fans, thousands of people. It's going to be the best.
Cool. Now, you know, something I like to ask the groups that come on the show, when you guys are out touring around, you know, with the cannabis community out there, a lot of people are obviously going to think of places like Boulder, Colorado, or, you know, Oakland, California. What place did you guys tour to where you were the most surprised by how cool and how down they were with the cannabis community?
Mine for sure is New York. When we went to New York with Twisted, a while ago, I think it was a year and a half or 2 years ago, we went with Twisted to New York, and they gave us, like, so much love. We had to stop in the middle of our show. They were cheering so loud, and just being from the West Coast, you never really know. You know how there's always rap beef and wars and West Coast and East Coast and who likes who and what, you know, what different people talk about. But, you know, we went over there. I didn't really know how it was going to be, but they loved us. So that was the most surprising show for sure.
Cool. How about you?
Well, to me, it's when you go to some of those smaller cities, you know, where you would, like, not expect hip-hop to really be big at all. Like, when you go to Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Or when you go to, you know, like, Des Moines, Iowa. Or some of those spots, it's like, the spot we play in Omaha is a higher capacity than the spot we play in Los Angeles and the spot we play in New York.
Whoa!
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's surprising that you would go to those spots and get so many people to come out. Like on this Bring the Noise tour that we're about to do, the second biggest venue we're going to play is in Salt Lake City. I think it holds like 3,800 people.
Wow, that is so cool.
And the last couple times we came through there, we sold it out. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's been with Tech N9ne or it's been the Bring the Noise tour with Tech N9ne and Cottonmouth Kings. They're just really big with underground music and underground hip-hop, so it's, to me, that's just amazing that those smaller cities like that normally you wouldn't think of as big hip-hop centers can just bring so many people out.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, you guys are called Potluck, so I got to ask, have you been lucky with the pot? Any encounters with the man?
Oh, you know, the man is always trying to catch up with you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But,
you just got to try to stay five steps ahead because, you know, they're going to use four steps to try to cheat you.
Yeah, that's right. What do you guys think about, you know, because there's been a lot of talk in the news, you know, with Michael Phelps getting the bong photo and all that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, someone like Michael Phelps, man, it's like they build you up to break you down. Man, he's a 23-year-old kid, for real.
Yeah.
Everyone, when they're 23 years old, is going out to bars. They're drinking, you know, they're experiment, even if you know, some people don't like smoking, you know, but everyone at least tries it, or most people at least try it for a while. So to deny someone their normal, you know, the normal things in life of growing up to be an adult and learning on your own and acting like people are, just because he's the best swimmer ever in the world, that he's supposed to just come out and just not be a man and not experience stuff and learn stuff on his own, I think is kind of like, it's really short-sighted and halfway hypocritical for the media to be like that. Then again, you know, for a pothead like me, I like to say, you know, the greatest Olympian ever is taking bonkers. That tells you that we ain't that bad after all.
That's right. That's right. That's what I've been saying. Can't be that bad. Oh, wow. Well, the group is Potluck. The new album, Pipe Dreams, drops on Tuesday. Get your copy. iTunes. You can get them at myspace.com/potluck. The tour is the Bring the Noise tour starting February 25th. Check the web for the time and the location near you. And I believe what we're going to be listening to now is your single featuring Cottonmouth Kings. This is Stoner Bitch from the album Pipe Dreams and Potluck.
I need a stoner bitch.
I need a stoner bitch.
The donor bitch. I need a stoner, the donor bitch. I need a stoner, the donor bitch. I need a stoner, the donor bitch.
I need a stoner bitch.
Stoner bitch.
I need a stoner bitch, baby, looking just like you. And if you like to get high, well then you just might do. Never cry, you're only sad when the sack is gone. I got a pound and a bomb, so girl packed a bone. Fuck the coach, fuck the rider, fuck the Dolce and Gabbana. She's happy kicking back, smoking a fat sack of marijuana. We'll be together forever, that's what she promised me. Only breaking up we do is when we breaking up the weed. And please believe she's doing it right. She's the type of girl that likes to smoke and fuck all night. She's the love of my life, my stoner bitch is the Bombay. She's better than a blonde babe and better than Beyonce. Ass so big you can see it from the front. And she's so damn sexy how she passed the blood. My stoner bitch is like a dream to me, she'd be so fine. I gotta make this little fly, stoner bitch all mine.
I need a stoner bitch. I need a stoner bitch. I need a stoner bitch.
I need a stoner bitch.
Stoner bitch. Some men that want a girl who got a nice face. Big ass titties and a slim ass waist. Some men that want a girl who they know can cook and clean. Take care of the kids and hook a steak up in between. Some men that want a girl who can be a freaking man. Suck a good dick and put their legs behind their head. But me, I want a stoner bitch who always got a blunt. The type of girl who loves smoke with skills and rolling up.
I got a stoner bitch, she's the queen of the green. She licks my nutsack like she licks the blunt paper clean. Always stoned at the pad up in rollers rolling weed. Fat anti-joint, she's a rolling machine. She's a queen and I'm a cottonmouth king. And we fiends for the green and the section between. The hits and the tits of life bouncing all crazy. We high in the sheets, fucking stone picking daisies. It's amazing, and this is no fabrication. Daddy, yes, I got the finest stoner bitch in the nation. And I'll put that on something like my motherfucking life. Till death do us part, she's my bud smoking wife.
She was probably one of the best hoes, if not the best hoe I ever had. What she would do is like little shit that I like done. Having my joint rolled and ready.
Yeah, rolled and ready, packed and loaded. Now it's time to smoke and talk about the stoner bitch, cause man, she ain't no joke. Let's get it straight, don't let her ever hear you call her bitch. Just like the lights go on and off, a rattle to the switch. I got a fine lady who loves to blaze and sip some wine and lay up on the couch with me when it's getting close to game time. My stoner lady's bad as fuck, and yeah, she likes to fuck. Like Sammy loves it when I'm digging deep inside her guts. No macaroni and cheese, please, she'll hit the store. If we out of weed, then she's out the door to make a score. She be the love of my life, I know she's down to ride. My stoner baby, maybe someday be my stoner wife.
I need a stoner bitch. I need a stoner bitch.
I need a stoner bitch.
Stoner bitch. Some men that want a girl who got a nice face. Big ass titties and a slim ass waist. Some men that want a girl who they know can cook and clean. Take care of the kids and hook a steak up in between. Some men that want a girl who can be a freaking band. Suck a good dick and put their legs behind their head. But me, I want a stoner bitch who always got a blunt. The type of girl who loves smoke with skills and rolling up. I need a stoner bitch. I need a stoner bitch. I need a stoner bitch.
I need a stoner bitch.
Stoner bitch.
My stoner bitch got ass for days, the munchies make her thick. She helped me grow my plants and she knows a couple tricks. The type of bitch you never snitch and quick to lot of spit. The type of bitch you taking trips to help me sell my shit. My girl, she got a green thumb and run my greenhouse. She picking up my pounds and she drop them down south. Your girl is
it's kinda bougie, no more smoking with your spouse. She got you watching Oprah while you cuddle on the couch. But me, I'm saying fuck a bitch unless she wanna smoke. Tell a couple funny jokes while she takes another toke. Some girls will take a cherry stem and tie with their tongue. My girl will roll another blunt and smoke it till it's done. Your bitch is in the kitchen with some chicken shaking bake. My bitch, she taking long hits and love to wake and bake. Cause I'm a stoner, you a stoner, she's a stoner too. And I'm in love with stoner bitches just like you.
I need a stoner bitch.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Yesterday, we brought you the news of Seattle Police Chief Gil Kerlikowske being named as the Obama administration's pick for the Director of Office of National Drug Control Policy, a.k.a. the Drug Czar. And I wanted to get some reaction from the people in Washington who are following this, and I could think of no better person than Normal Board of Directors member Dominic Holden, who also writes for The Stranger up in Seattle. And Dominic, welcome back to The Stash.
Thank you for having me on, Russ.
Okay, so this Chief Kerlikowske, you know, so far what I've read in the cannabis sphere here has been pretty good reaction. People are saying that, you know, he won't be as bad as Walters, which I guess isn't saying much. What are your thoughts on this appointment of Kerlikowske?
Well, you know, Kerlikowske has never been an outspoken advocate for reforming drug policy. What is perhaps most remarkable is that he has been at the helm of the Seattle Police Department while Seattle has pushed some of the most aggressive drug policy reforms that a city can make in the country. And now Kerlikowske is going to be in a position to help set a lot of that federal policy. And I think it's the sentiment based on what we've seen around here that Kerlikowske is comfortable stepping back a little bit where enforcement-only approaches have failed and allow public health and a new way of thinking about drug policy can proceed. I think one of the biggest tests is in regards to needle exchange. We've already seen that the Obama administration has set a priority of allowing needle exchange based on his negotiations with the UN, where he wants to reverse some of Bush's policies that would block needle exchange in Europe, that Obama is interested in allowing needle exchange funding in the United States. Well, here in Seattle, we've seen since Kerlikowske took office in 2000 that his officers have never harassed the needle exchange programs. In fact, the King County Public Health Needle Exchange Program says that they've had a great working relationship and support from Seattle Police Department officers. And that wasn't necessarily the case up until as recently as the mid-90s. So I think that shows that Kerlikowske is not going to be an opponent of needle exchange.
That's...
On another note, there is the issue of marijuana, which we at Normal are naturally very concerned with. Well, under Kerlikowske's watch in Seattle, marijuana arrests plummeted. They went from about 340 a year down to 150 a year. Now, granted, some of that was probably due to the passage of Initiative 75, but unlike other city officials, Kerlikowske never stood in the way. He was never an opponent of Initiative 75. Tom Carr, our city attorney, for instance, joined drug czar John Walters at a press conference, and Tom Carr opposed the initiative, including writing a statement in the Voter's Guide. But Kerlikowske never spoke out about it. And medical marijuana patients found that he was always fair with a few incidents from a couple rogue officers who had some run-ins with medical marijuana patients. But on the whole, he really had a hands-off approach and respected the Washington State medical marijuana law, which, mind you, still allows officers to make an arrest of a medical marijuana patient and let the court sort it out. But Kerlikowske didn't do that. He really established it as his lowest enforcement priority. And that was in striking contrast with the Bush administration and with John Walters, who established marijuana as enemy number one when it came to drug enforcement. And then I think the third and perhaps the most telling of all of Kerlikowske's acts have been allowing a program called GOTS, which is stands for Get Off the Streets. He allowed Officer or Sergeant John Hayes to set up a table in the middle of an open-air drug market on 20th and Madison in Seattle Central District. And this table was essentially an arrest-free area where people with criminal warrants could come for social and health services and get off the streets before they were arrested again. And that happened under Kerlikowske's watch, even staffed by one of Kerlikowske's officers. When a city council member who then chaired the Public Safety Committee sought funding to turn that program into a permanent fixture, Kerlikowske again could have stood in the way. But instead, he did not, and he allowed it to go forward. And now we have both the GOTS program and another program that establishes pre-arrest aversion in the south end of the city in Rainier Beach. All of this suggests that Kerlikowske is willing to stand back when there are alternatives to enforcement and enforcement is not working. He may be a drug czar who is willing to lift the federal ban on needle exchange funding and support more treatment and recognize states that have passed medical marijuana laws and stop the federal raids.
Yeah, that's definitely something we're looking forward to, especially with the Obama administration coming into power on January 20th. And we've seen something like 7 raids, 5 in California, 2 in Colorado. And the spokesman, when asked about that, said that as President Obama fills these cabinet slots, he will, you know, he hopes that people understand he doesn't want the Justice Department resources to be wasted in circumventing state laws. So you think then that Kerlikowske is the guy to allow the medical marijuana to go forward and not try to oppose it like the former drug czars?
You know, I think that the real credibility that Kerlikowske brings to this is that he is an officer. He understands the harm that drugs cause, and he's seen what they do on the street. No one can accuse him of being a public health nut or a legalizer. He knows what cops are doing, and he believes that drugs should remain illegal. He believes that marijuana is a dangerous substance. There was a rumor that he'd actually circulated a memo to city council that marijuana was dangerous when there was some article, I believe, that ran in the UK suggesting that marijuana was more dangerous than previously thought. So he's not pro-marijuana, but the very fact that he's willing to think differently about how we enforce marijuana laws and our needle exchange laws is really an indicator to me that we're certainly not going to see the sort of zealous spending or the crackdowns that we have seen under the previous two administrations.
That will be good to see. Now, on a local level, if Chief Kerlikowske is going to be leaving the Seattle Police Department, do you have any idea who might be taking his place and whether that person would continue these policies of Chief Kerlikowske?
Well, I mean, that's sort of the million-dollar question here, not just for marijuana law reformers, but for everyone who's wondering who our next chief is going to be. I think that a new chief would be hard-pressed to come in and ratchet up marijuana enforcement after Seattle has established both a civic culture and also passed legislation in the form of Initiative 75 to deprioritize marijuana enforcement. And there's tremendous support in the city, not only for relaxing marijuana laws, but for protecting medical marijuana patients. So I can only hope that between the pressures of the city and the media, that even if a chief was selected who was concerned about marijuana, that they would not take a hardline approach to marijuana enforcement.
Yeah, let's hope so. And Dominic, just so our listeners can follow up on this, I'm sure you'll be following up on this story as it develops in Seattle with their new police chief and also following how Kerlikowske does his drug czar. If people want to follow your column there in The Stranger, how can they get to that online?
Well, you can go to www.thestranger.com. And our blog is Slog, and it's always moving, it's always crazy, it's always fun, and sometimes we're talking about pot, sometimes sex, and sometimes just stuff going on in the city of Seattle. But thestranger.com will take you there, and you can see the musings of folks like me and our fearless editor, Dan Savage.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. And Dominic Holden, as we mentioned, is a member of the board of directors for Normal and writes for The Stranger up in Seattle, Washington. Thanks for joining us, Dominic.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to check out the activist agenda at stash.normal.org/activist-agenda for all the alerts you need to be ready for the upcoming week. There's a lot of bills coming out next week. We want to make sure you're all ready for them. And for our stasher, Mr. Spoff, who's been missing him, another one of our cannabis quotes, this one apropos of the Michael Phelps situation, from Susan B. Anthony, who said, quote, "If a man's public record be a clear one, if he has kept his pledges before the world, I do not inquire what his private life may have been," end quote. Ah, truer words were never spoken. It's time to let adults be adults and end this stupid marijuana prohibition. We're not hurting anyone. We just ask to be left alone. Thanks for joining us this week on the Daily Audio Stash and making us the most popular marijuana podcast on the internet. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.